you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4-7.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, January 23rd, 2026. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Today I'm joined by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church here in Springfield, along with a room of friends here at the WLUJ studios. And today we're talking about purpose, especially those moments in life when people quietly wonder, is this all there is? Today we'll look at how God has designed each of us with intention, gifted for service, and how real purpose is rediscovered when our lives are poured out for others and for His glory. Pastor Mark, purpose is something that's really important that we identify and recognize. God has a purpose and plan for all of us.
Mark, we've been talking for the last several weeks about life to the full and what is life to the full. And one of the things we have to understand is this sense of purpose. So a lot of books have been written, a lot of things have been aimed at people at midlife, because it seems like people get to this midlife point and they take a look at their life and they wonder, what is this? They suddenly begin to wonder about it. So they call it a midlife crisis. So I'd like to ask anybody in this room to just kind of address, what do you think a midlife crisis is?
I think it's probably that point at which we suddenly realize that maybe a lot of the assumptions we based our life on up to that point are wrong, and we need to really think about what new assumptions we should have for the rest of our lives.
Good. Anybody else?
Well, yeah, if you've got a lot of things that you've been trying to do, and all of a sudden they're all piling up, and you're like, which one do I do? It's too much. Your mind kind of gets overwhelmed. So there are lots of paths to take.
Yep. Anybody else?
I wonder, Mark, if it's sometimes the unmet expectations. So you thought you were going to achieve this or have this in place, and it hasn't happened. So then you start doubting or getting confused or discouraged.
Yeah, it's one way that they identify it is kind of this realization of looking at your life, looking where you're at. And people will do this with their marriage. They'll do it with their social life. They'll do it with their careers. And they'll say, is this it? Mm-hmm. Is this all there is to it? I watched a documentary a number of years ago, and it was about a movie star. And this guy was now probably in his late 70s or 80s. He was towards the end of his life. And they'd done a full documentary on his life. He'd been very, very successful. He had won several Oscars. He was known as a great actor. He had starred in many, many, many movies. He had made a lot of money. He did a lot of things. And now he's towards the end of his life. And they've documented all these things that he's done. And you just think this fabulous, famous man, well-received every place he went. People wanted to be around him. They review all of that with him, and they ask him, they said, when you look back at your life now, and all the things you've done, all you've accomplished, all you've done, how do you feel about it? And he paused and he looked at them, and you could see just a moment of honesty come upon him. And he said, sometimes when I think about all of that, I wonder, is this all there is to it? Is this all there is to it? I wanted to scream into the television set, no, it's not. that's not what it's all about. He had lived his life pretty much about himself, trying to gain things for himself. It had been pretty evident in the documentary. He had been a guy pretty self-motivated and self-driven, and it was about himself. Now, you take that and you flip it to the person who lived on this earth, who is the best example of living life with purpose. So I hope everybody can get this answer right. What do you think the answer to that is? Who is that guy?
Jesus.
Jesus is that guy. Jesus says he came to seek and save the lost. He had a purpose. He was here for a reason. Everything was aimed at the cross. He was going to sacrifice himself for us. And so what it teaches us is that purpose can't be met without service. It can't be about us. We cannot be at the center of it. So if we want to have life to the full, we can begin to have that life to the full at any stage of life that we are. We may be young, we may be old, but we can stop and say, you know, where am I supposed to serve today?
I just wrote down, purpose needs service as an outflow. So that's maybe one of the ways of measuring, are we being intentional or purposeful for kingdom values?
One of the great stories I have in my life, one of our founding members of our church, his dad lived all of his life down in Pawnee, Illinois. Went to a church down there all of his life, great man of God. And towards the end of his life, the last couple years of his life, he and his wife had gotten to the place where they couldn't take care of themselves. And so they moved them up to Springfield to live in one of these assisted kind of living places. And so they'd moved to Springfield. He'd been down in this one church and this one community all of his life. And we were at this family's house for, I don't know if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner or something. We were there for something. And Chet had brought his dad, Dewey, over and his mom over. And we're sitting there around the table. And somebody, I think it was my father, asked him, Dewey, how do you feel about leaving your home, leaving the church you've been in all your life, and coming up here to Springfield and living in this home that you're now living in? And this guy looks at my dad. He's probably in his 80s at this time. And he looks at my dad and he says, well, I just figured God's brought me up here to encourage somebody and share faith with somebody. Figure that's the reason I'm here. So what was he saying? There's a purpose for this stage of my life. My life isn't over. There's a purpose for it, and I'm going to find it. I'm not going to lose that. I'm not going to sit back and moan and groan that I'm not living in my home I've lived in for all these years. I'm not living in the community I lived in. No, why did God bring me here? And so one of the great questions we ask in life is, why am I going through what I'm going through right now? God, what is the purpose in this time of trial, this time of testing? What is the purpose of this age? What is the purpose of these things that I'm facing? How do you want me to serve others?
You know, I'm thinking of an example. Like, we can do many things right and be very purposeful or intentional, but I think of, like, Billy Graham at the end of his life, and he did so much for the Lord, but he said, you know what? I wish I would have prayed more. And we think, like, Billy Graham, he's like the rock star Christian.
Right.
And yet, as purposeful as we want to be, we can also have some regrets or healthy conviction for maybe a listener now that is thinking, yeah, but I wish I would do this more. So is there a way to start to be more intentional or purposeful?
You know, it's interesting to say, because you hear this song, and I think Elvis Presley sang it. I'm pretty sure Frank Sinatra sang it. I did it my way. And they sing as if they have no regrets. And I've had a couple of young people say, I have no regrets in life. And I go, you will.
Yeah.
You will. You're going to have some regrets.
Grow up. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I can't imagine how self-centered a person has to be to sit and say, I have absolutely no regrets in life, because we all make mistakes.
Right.
Prayer, I think what you're hearing from Billy Graham is, prayer is a point of clarification. If I start my day with prayer, if I end my day with prayer, we've talked about this on the show before. If I end my day with prayer saying, God, how did I do today? It brings clarity back to that day. And that may mean I've got to go fix something, someplace where I messed up. If I pray at the beginning of the day, God, guide me today. Hey, I'm going to go be with Mark and friends today. God, guide us in this conversation. Direct us in it. Let us be led in. Then I begin to feel the leading of the Spirit of God. Oh, right. Hey, I'm raising these kids. You know, I was with a family last night, a beautiful family, and they have three little kids. I think they're all under five, and another one coming. And I said, there's a full-time job for you. There's purpose in that job. There's reason in there. I've got to grow these kids, not just to have fun. I want to raise these children to love and serve God and find their purpose in life. So when you begin to sit in the middle of the storm of four little kids in the home, and settle your spirit in prayer and say, okay, God, what's the purpose today? Help me to see the path today to lead these children towards you. I begin to find purpose. Then as I get older, I look back and I discover, hey, there were places where my life fulfilled what God called me to do. I am so blessed. I have six children. All of them today are living for God. I don't say that because I was smarter than anybody else. I don't say that because we did things better than anybody else. We prayed. We asked God to guide us every day. We prayed with them every day. And now they've learned the value of that, the value of seeking God, the value of knowing God. And they're trying to raise their families that way. When we understand our purpose in the moment and we serve there, we find the fulfillment of God in it. So my purpose is now not to raise little children. I thank God for that now. I loved it when it was happening. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. Now I can't imagine going back and trying to do that again. Mm-hmm. There's something else for my life today. So every person that's sitting out there, you're struggling. My first question with having some meaning to your life, my first question would be, who are you serving? Mm. Where are you serving? How are you using the gifts and the talents you have to serve? So you take the singer who gets up on Sunday morning and they sing beautifully to the congregation and they soak all of the praise in and people come and tell them how great they are and how wonderful they are. They've missed the purpose. Mm. They missed the purpose. The purpose isn't about getting glory from people to say how great a singer I am. The purpose is to glorify God.
Right.
And if I glorify God, if I serve Him in that, I will find the pleasure of God in that.
My Testimony Tuesday guest this week, she says whenever she walks into a room, that's generally her prayer is, God, help them see you before they start seeing me or appreciating me. And then I think on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, my other special guest, he talked about the four children and credited his wife that they're all walking with the Lord. And it's really because she invested in them during a period before they started Heaven in Business, their workshops and their teaching. But they said during that time, the children were the focus, and that was their primary purpose, and giving credit mainly to his wife for how she raised them so well.
You know, I would say a couple of quick things with raising kids. One, you cannot live a hypocritical life in front of your children and expect them to live a faithful life. Mm-hmm. If you're living a hypocritical life, they're not going to live a faithful life. They're going to turn from it all. Kids see hypocrisy in a second. The second thing is you can do all the right things, but unless the Spirit of God moves in their life, you're going to have problems. And so, to me, I believe the most important thing we can do for our children is pray for them and pray for ourselves as we raise them. That is one of the purposes of why God blesses us with children. But there's purpose in every era of our life. That's what Dewey Squires testified to us. I don't know if he realized what he was saying, but he was saying, I have purpose to be where I'm going. This isn't a bad thing. This is where God is sending me next. And so when we understand where's God sending me right now, I discover that purpose in life. And when one era of my life ends, you see this, people go through crisis. Their children grow up, their children move out, their children go away to college, and all of a sudden, what am I going to do? My whole life was wrapped up in my kids. This feels meaningless now. No, there's a purpose for your life now. Start looking for purpose. I talk to men and women whose husband or wife passes away, and they're in heaven, and they're like, why am I still here? Why am I still? Well, God has a purpose for you now. Find that purpose. Find what that is. Find what God has wired you up for now, and do that, and you will find life to the full. You will find joy in that service to others.
Is it the Westminster, like that primary, our purpose is to like glorify God and know Him personally, something like that. And so for the listener, for everyone in this room, one of our primary purposes is just to enjoy and know God. And then I thought another one that's been echoed a few times is just prayer. And I think of Joyce when I think of somebody that's very intentional every day praying and interceding on behalf of others. But part of all of our purposes, everyone tuned in today, whether they know God well or have walked with Him faithfully for many years or maybe just entertaining the idea He exists, is to pray to Him, right? Wouldn't that be a primary purpose for everyone?
You know, praying to God.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to bring the presence of God and give direction in my life. Like I said before, prayer is a clarifying act. The mistake we make is, oh, God, change my wife.
Mm.
You know, that's a mistake. No, God, show me how to serve my wife. Mm. Show me how to minister to her. Show me and let me be changed. And through that, God may use that to change her. But the call of my life isn't to change her. The call of my life is to be the man to serve her the way I'm supposed to. Same with my kids. I want to serve them well and point them well, disciple them well. But in whatever case of life that I'm in, I'm praying, I'm seeking God. That's fundamental to faith. And it's going to clarify every role for me. So, you know, we live in a city where we have state government and people can retire really young. I've got guys that were in my youth group. They were teenagers in my youth group that went to work for the state right out of high school and have now been retired for 5 or 10 years, you know, and they're in their 50s. I'm going to give you a hint. Your purpose isn't to sit on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose isn't to play more golf than you've ever played before in your life.
Right.
Now, you can use golf. I remember guys that came to me after my dad died. And my dad, as he got older, he went, you know, I helped him get back and start fishing. He started fishing more. He loved to fish. And he would go with these guys to fish. And I didn't know what. I just thought that he was out having fun with them. At his funeral, I had 7 or 8 guys come to me and look at me and say, you know, I used to go fishing with your dad. I love fishing with your dad. Let me tell you about a day we got into a conversation and it changed my life. He was using fishing as a platform to minister to these guys. And they all knew it. They all understood it. And they loved going and being with him. And he was finding fulfillment and joy and pouring into. So he's not preaching every Sunday morning on the pulpit anymore, but he's sitting in a boat with guys, talking to them about their marriages and talking to them about their kids, talking to them about their life. There's a purpose in every stage of our life. And I would challenge anyone listening, do you know your purpose now? Now, you can serve in a lot of ways. You can serve in your church. You can just choose to serve people in need. You can find a lot of places where you can serve others. And I would tell you the most fulfilling places we serve them is when we serve them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Joyce, you do this a lot with your visits to retirement homes and working with seniors and loving on them and showing them that even though they're maybe not able to get out or be active in the community, because you're intentional on loving them and caring for them and valuing them, I think they sense more meaning and purpose in life, even though they're not as active, right?
That's true. We've led a lot of people to the Lord through just sitting and listening and talking to them. But, you know, all of this reminds me of Solomon. I've been doing a Bible study with some people and all the things he went through with wealth and wisdom and all of the things he had at the end of his life. It was all, it's like, what's the meaning of life? Mm-hmm. You know, that was the whole purpose of that. And then at the end, he realizes only Jesus.
Yes.
And so when we go into the nursing homes, that's one of the things we make sure we talk about. Only Jesus could bring you to where you are today. And it reminds me of a lady that was blind that went into a nursing home because she had to go. She kept saying, I know it's going to be beautiful. And I said, how do you know it's going to be beautiful? You've not even seen your room yet. And she said, everything God does for me has a purpose and it will be beautiful. And I have
Amen.
To, and I know that it will be.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So,
I love that story. I love to see people in our church that find a place. We have people in our church who served in children's ministry for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you got these adults. And I, you know, my daughter, one of my daughters, I asked her one day, when did you really give your heart to God? And she rolled it back to when she was about 4 years old,
wow.
sitting in a Sunday school class with one of those teachers and talking with them. And that teacher saying, do you need to ask Christ into your life? And her saying, yes.
Mm.
And she said, from then on, I've always felt the presence of God moving in my life. Now, 4 years old, that's pretty outstanding.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
But there's purpose in wherever we serve. We have a lady in our church right now, and I love these kind of stories. We've got numerous people that do this, but we have a lady in our church right now that she started making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the homeless in town. God just connected her with churches, with schools, with all kinds of different groups. Our church gets behind it and does it. I think she does about 4,000 or 5,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a week that they go out and give out to the homeless in Springfield, making sure they put them places where they know where to go to give them to them, and they do that in the name of Jesus. We have a place called the Hitting Center here in town where there's baseball and softball training, and they do a really good job. A lot of these kids have gone on to play college softball, college baseball, and it's run by Bob and Jackie Laurent. It's out on Dirksen. And the whole purpose of it for them is we don't want to just teach them baseball. We want to teach them the character of Christ. Mm-hmm. We want to teach them how to live for God in the middle of it. And we've seen families come to our church, get involved in our church, that our first contact with them was through the Hitting Center. But they knew their purpose for what they're doing. They're not just doing it to train baseball and softball. They knew there was a higher calling. When we understand the higher calling, we find purpose. So this is why we go back to this in original scripture. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for whose good? The common good. Right. Not just for me to get famous. Mm-hmm. Not just for me to be a star. Not just for me to get rich. All of this is about, God, why have you given me this? So if you're sitting out there and you're rich, why has God given you this money? Mm-hmm. And Timothy, you're accountable for what you're doing with that money. What are you doing to serve others with it? You know, if you've got a talent, what are you doing to serve God with that talent? Where are you serving God at with that talent? How are you using that for God's glory? Whatever position you're in, how are you using that for the glory of God?
Well, listening friend, thanks for joining us for today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. My prayer is that you're reminded God has placed purpose in your life, not by accident, but by design, and that you are to serve others, and you'll discover fresh meaning and joy in walking with Him. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Purpose. God has a purpose and plan for all of us. May you realize that anew today. And by way of FYI, next Friday, we're going to be looking at self-control. How God has called us through the fruit of the Spirit to be exhibiting self-control. So I hope you can tune in again next week. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.